Dear colleagues, we will begin by hearing the reports of young scientists. These lectures have been recommended by the PACS. We have our second presentation will be missing. Unfortunately, the speaker is ill, so he will not be here. We start by a presentation by Dr. Ponomariev, which is entitled Sensitive Neutron Detection Method Using Iodine-Containing Scintillators. And Dr. Ponomariev is there, so would you please start? You've got 20 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Dmitry Ponomarev. My report is a sensitive neutron detection method using iodine-containing scintillators.
Would you turn your microphone on? Because there's a problem there.
Good morning. My name is Dmitry Ponomarev, and my report is a sensitive neutron detection method using iodine-containing scintillators. Firstly, I will say just a few words about motivation and why alternative to gallium-free detector is needed. Gallium-free detectors is a golden standard for neutron measurements, thanks to huge cross-section of thermal neutron capture. And thanks to low sensitivity these detectors to gamma rays. Unfortunately, these detectors has several drawbacks, and the main of them is the scarcity of gallium-free, and consequently high cost. One of the alternatives is iodine-containing scintillators. They're widely available, simple to use, relatively cheap, and what is important, they can be very radioactive clean. The neutrons previously has been detected by these scintillation devices through various approaches, it shows in the table. Unfortunately, all these methods are not capable for low neutron fluxes. And our method has no such problem, and this is the main advantage. Now I will describe it. Iodine has only one stable isotope, it's iodine 127, with a cross-section for thermal neutron capture 6.2 bun. Of course, it's in 860 times lower than gallium-free, but sodium iodide has 545 times many moles as an equal volume of gallium-free under normal pressure. And thanks to it, efficiency of thermal neutron capturing 1 kilogram of sodium iodide is about 50%. And almost all capture will be on iodine. Result of neutron capture on this isotope is iodine 128 in a 6.8 MeV excited state. This nucleus decays to round states, proceeds through several low energy levels. And this process includes energy level with energy 137.8 keV, with half-life 845 nanoseconds. The idea of the method is to use the transition the late coincidences from transition from levels before, and it is prompt signal, and from this isometric level as delayed signal. With the delay time 845 nanoseconds. Short time between delayed prompt and delayed coincidence gives an opportunity to discriminate neutron events from background with high efficiency. To test this idea, we started measurements in Dubna. We used very simple detector. It's sodium iodide with size is 63 by 63 millimeters. It was coupled to Hamamatsu, PMT Hamamatsu R6091. It was all placed in 5 centimeter lead shield. And the detector was connected to Cayenne MCA TT5780. Simultaneously, we performed neutron measurements by using gallium-free detector. Calibration, energy calibration, for energy calibration used source cerium-139, line 166 keV, and to verify effect, we used a strong plutonium beryllium source, which is produced 10 and 4 neutrons per second. Here there is two graphs. Upper graph is delayed events near energy 137 keV line, and lower is delayed events far from this energy. Left side, both pictures is events without source, and right side with source. As you can see, with source appearing more events, and with energy 137 keV, there are much more events with delay time less than 5 microseconds. And lower graph for energy far from this energy, this level, all events does not depend on delay time. This test showed that our method work, and after that we started measurements in neutron field, started neutron monitoring in Dubna. This is comparison spectra of neutron flux measured by helium-3, it's blue dots, and neutron events registered by sodium iodate, it's red dots. As you can see, both detectors show the same picture, and we analyze data, we saw that there is some big changes in spectra, and for this spectra corresponds some GNR accelerators, so, which is almost every time work, and that's why natural thermal neutron flux can be detected only on winter holidays. They finally stopped. Few words about background. Accidental background in delayed coincidences is quadratic, almost quadratically proportioned to overall background, thus decreasing overall background in 10 times, we decreases background in neutron events in 100 times. So background-less measurements can be achieved by using high-purity detectors and shielding. After test in Dubna, we started measurements by same setup in underground laboratory in Madan. Again, same PM, same sodium iodide, same PMT, same kinase MCA. For calibration, we used thorium lines and potassium 40, which is contained in scintillators that we used. To see effect, we used americium beryllium neutron source, which has produced 20 neutrons per second. Simultaneously, we measured neutron flux by two low background helium-free detectors. One of them was placed on top of sodium iodide shield, and the second one near wall. This is comparison spectra of background and spectra with americium beryllium source, which is measured by sodium iodide. As because we used very old sodium iodide, total background is about 3 Hz, and it's mostly due to potassium 40 internal contamination. So here, red line is spectra with americium beryllium source, which is, was located near wall, and blue line is just background without source. We search coincidences in time interval from 1.8 to 5 microsecond, and here pink line is delayed coincidences with source, and the green line is just a background of delayed coincidences. This is just zoom of zone of interest from previous slide. This is red line is delayed coincidences with source, and the green line is just a background. And so result after almost 240 days of measurements are follow. There was 67 events, delayed events, expected background almost 32, measured background with shifted time window from 11.8 to 15 microseconds is 35 events, and difference it's in neutrons is 35 events. So flux measured by sodium iodide is 2.3 by 10 and minus 6. It's the same as the measured by helium free detector located on top of shield, and about 30% less than neutron flux measured by helium free detector located near wall. The situation with background can be much more better in case of use modern scintillators, which is, has no potassium 40 contamination. In conclusion, measurements of neutron, thermal neutron flux by using iodine containing scintillators revealed. For precise measurements, we need a bigger detector and with low background. Several of these detectors with different sizes, different PMTs and types of scintillator already purchased. With this method, also by using this method and method from second slide, third slide, are possible to measure fast neutrons and thermal neutrons by using iodine-containing scintillators. So when we will receive new detectors, our test will be continued. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you very much, Dmitry. Questions and comments? Anybody? Well, seeing no questions, let's thank the speaker again. No questions, yeah. Thank you very much. Next speaker is we're missing the second talk, but now it'll be the limit on the effective magnetic moment of solar neutrinos using Voxino data. The speaker is Alina Vishnieva from the Djelepov Laboratory of Nuclear Physics. Alina, are you there? Okay, just a moment. So let's relax and wait for our speaker.
Okay, good morning. The topic of my talk is the limit on the effective magnetic moment of solar neutrinos using the Voxino data. This is the outline of my talk. First, I will give a brief introduction to the neutrino magnetic moment. Then I will describe the Voxino experiment. And finally, I will discuss some details of the analysis and the final results. The interest for neutrino magnetic moment arose a long time ago. First of all, as a possible explanation of the solar neutrino problem. This was a problem of discrepancy between the predicted solar neutrino flux and the one observed at the chlorine experiment. Also, there was a confusing 11-year modulation of the solar neutrino flux in supercomicanta data, which was coinciding with the 11-year cycle of solar activity. So the electromagnetic interaction of neutrinos with the solar magnetic fields could also be an explanation. But afterwards, this effect was not confirmed. Also, if a neutrino can interact electromagnetically, it can provide an additional mechanism of star cooling. Observations of red giants give this limit on the magnetic moment of neutrinos. So if we observe somehow the magnetic moment which is larger than this, it can lead to observable effects of star evolution. Oops, it doesn't switch for some reason.
Not here. Just a second. No.
Okay. So the magnetic moment of neutrinos appears already in the standard model at one loop level when neutrinos have mass. Now we do know that neutrinos has a mass. So neutrino can interact with photon in these diagrams. The neutrino magnetic moment is proportional to the neutrino mass, so it's quite a small number. It's much less than the sensitivity of current experiments, but there are models which predict the values which are close to what we can measure right now. Since the photon have a spin 1, such an interaction changes neutrino helicity, and also it can change the neutrino flavor. Oops. Actually, there is a matrix of neutrino magnetic moments in the mass eigenstate basis. There are three diagonal dipole moments and three non-diagonal transition moments. For Dirac neutrinos, all these moments can be non-zero, but non-diagonal elements are suppressed. For Majorana neutrinos, the situation is the opposite. Due to the CPT conservation, the diagonal elements are zero. But when we are talking about experiments, we don't measure the pure mass eigenstates. We detect flavor eigenstates, and also if a neutrino source is far away from the detector, neutrinos oscillate while propagating. So finally, we have a mixture of mass or flavor eigenstates. So experiments usually measure the effect of magnetic moment, which is such a mixture. So, how can we measure the neutrino magnetic moment? The electromagnetic interaction of neutrino can contribute to the elastic scattering on electrons. It doesn't interfere with the weak interaction, so the total cross-section of elastic scattering is just sum of weak and the electromagnetic contributions. This cross-section looks like this. So, where TE is the electron recoil energy, so it's a low energy effect. Thus, we need low threshold detectors which detect neutrinos via elastic scattering of electrons. There are a few such experiments, and GNR participates in two of them. The first one is GEMMA at the Kalinin power plant. It measures the magnetic moment of reactor antineutrinos of electron flavor. And also there is Buraktina, which is the subject of my talk. It measures the effective magnetic moment of solar neutrinos. The Buraktina detector is located in the Gran Sasso laboratory in Italy, and its main goal is the real-time detection of solar neutrinos in a low energy range. It detects neutrinos via the neutrino elastic scattering. Also, it can detect antineutrinos via inverse beta decay. The energy threshold of recoil electrons is about 200 keV. It's a large mass liquid scintillation detector based on pseudocumene with the admixture of PPO at a concentration of 1.5 grams per liter. The total mass of the active region is 278 tons with 71 tons fiducial volume. The scintillation light is detected by over 2,000 photomultipliers. The most distinctive feature of the experiment is the abundance of radioactive contaminations. This is the lowest one among all the existing experiments. It has a rather good energy resolution, which allows us to perform spectral analysis. It's about 5% at 1 MeV, and the spatial resolution is about 10 centimeters. This is how the detector looks. So, the scintillator is surrounded by the stainless steel sphere in which the photomultipliers are mounted. The scintillator is divided in three parts by two concentric nylon vessels. The region between the stainless steel sphere and the inner vessel is a buffer where scintillation is quenched. And in the inner vessel, there is the active scintillation volume, in which we also cut the fiducial volume. All this construction is surrounded by the water tank, which serves as the active muon Vito. The Buraktina detector is sensitive to all the main contributions to solar neutrino flux. In this analysis, we accounted for the magnetic moment of PP and beryllium-7 neutrinos because they are low energetic and they have the largest fluxes. On the right, you can see how the electron recoil spectrum for this neutrino spectra looks. So the spectra without the magnetic moment contribution are plotted in black. For PP, there is visibly no big difference, but for beryllium-7 there is the difference between the absence and the presence of magnetic moment. And this is the difference for the shapes of PP neutrinos if there is and there is no the neutrino magnetic moment. This is how the experimental electron recoil spectrum in Buraktina looks like. It consists of, first of all, electron recoil spectra of solar neutrinos from PP reaction, beryllium-7, PEP, and CNO. And also it contains radioactive decays of different contaminations. And here, the weak and electromagnetic contributions to the solar neutrino interactions with the detector are plotted separately. And they are treated separately in the analysis because they anticorrelate with each other. And in order to get rid of this anticorrelation, we had to put a constraint on the weak interaction rate of solar neutrinos from independent measurements. We used the measurements of Galileo solar experiments, which detect solar neutrinos via charged current, so they are not sensitive to the electromagnetic interaction. The value which is measured at the gallium experiment is the total capture rate for all the solar neutrino components. So we put a constraint on the sum of solar neutrino fluxes in Buraxino using this number. In order to account for possible systematic shifts, we applied different fit conditions. First of all, we used two different energy estimators, which are number of triggered PMTs within 230 or 400 nanoseconds. Also, we used two different approaches of pileup description and predictions of solar neutrino fluxes from different solar models, which we used in order to define some of the fit parameters. So for each of these fit configurations, we constructed a likelihood profile by fitting the spectra with the neutrino magnetic moment fixed at a certain value. And the total likelihood profile is a weighted sum of the individual ones. This is how it looks. This is delta likelihood depending on the neutrino magnetic moment. And one can obtain the upper limit on the effective neutrino magnetic moment from here, which is 2.8 times 10 to minus 11 Bohr magneton at 90% confidence level. So this is what about the effective magnetic moment, but since this is a combination of mass or flavor eigenstates, we also derived from this number the limit on the diagonal magnetic moments for zero neutrinos, transition magnetic moments for Majorana neutrinos when diagonals are zero, and the magnetic moments of different neutrino flavors. And here are the numbers. Also, we compared the results with the ones of other experiments for what concerns the electron neutrinos. Our result is weaker than the result of gamma, which is the leader now. As for muon and tau neutrinos, our limits are stronger than the previous results obtained by LSND and Donut, respectively. Also, there are other measurements of the effective magnetic moment of solar neutrinos, for example, by Super Kamiokande, but it's not quite correct to compare them because they've been obtained in different energy regions where the flavor mixtures of solar neutrinos are different. So in conclusion, we used the phase two data of Buraxino experiment for measurement of the effective magnetic moment of solar neutrinos, and here are the results. Also, we have obtained the limits on the magnetic moment of mass eigenstates for Dirac and Majorana neutrinos and the flavor eigenstates. And for more details, you can refer to this paper. That's all, thank you.
Thank you very much and for this presentation, and questions are invited.
Thanks.
How much does the uncertainty in the solar model, I mean low metallicity, high metallicity, how much does it give into the uncertainty in your estimate for effective neutrino magnetic moment?
The result changed at about a couple of percent. Yes.
Well, thank you for this very nice presentation and results. Can you say a bit about the prospect in the coming years? How you going to improve? Are you going to run longer or?
Well, I think this result in Buraxino cannot be very much improved because we already had a lot of statistics, and it's quite unlikely that we will have much more than this. So probably for us this is enough.
Questions? no questions, no comments anymore.
Only a remark, if it is.
Please go ahead.
It's very important for this young scientist to be in front of us and to speak. They need maybe a kind of advice how to present, not in the sense of the being something very smooth and so on, but to underline their own contribution. For example, at the speech of Ponomarev, it is very important to understand which was his own contribution, because having a new detector, a new type of detector, is something very, very great, very important. So it is for us, it's maybe interesting to know which is his own contribution. And for that, it needs some advice. I think that before speaking here at the Scientific Council, someone, maybe a leader in this field, should have a discussion to improve this, because if the merit is of the only one, is fantastic. Also, in the second contribution here, it is important to understand which is the contribution of the person speaking, because it is impossible to understand it's impossible to conceive that all that was done by only one person. It's a group. So we can understand better which the contribution of each one who speaks here is a measure of it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's a very valid comment, I think. I think that you're absolutely right. The difficulty in this part of our meeting is that we want to encourage young people because they are, but then they need to demonstrate their own contribution. Here I fully agree with you, and it is a matter of correct advice of the leader because first of all there has to be an introduction in a very fairly general way for the wide spectrum of expertise in this group to be able to see where it sits, right? That's the first part of our presentation. And then, as you rightly say, possibly there could be pointing out the individual contribution and perhaps how is it placed within the context of a larger work. So I fully agree with that approach. And maybe we should recommend that at our future sessions, that this advice of yours be followed. Yeah. Right. Any other comments here?
Aspirant, it depends. If you are in group, it is very difficult to say that I did this and he this and. Who? It is not true. She was speaking. I like her talk because I was working alone, so as a theoretician, it was easy because I wrote Lagrangian and I received the result. And how she can speak when she's in the group.
In principle, I can comment on this.
It was nice talk. I don't know.
So I participated in the validation of the new fitting procedure because this large data set was never used before. We just considered it last summer for the solar neutrino analysis and for neutrino magnetic moment analysis. So I participated in the improving of the fitting procedure, in the validation, in tuning of the parameters. And also... this part was entirely mine. So this part and this result are mine.
Yeah, thank you for that clarification. I think it's with respect to your comment, of course, in a large group that produces a result, as we have seen, it is possible to indicate which is the contribution of the participants. So both can be demonstrated. Thank you very much once again for this presentation. And we now move on to the Pontecorvo Prize. And we will have Professor Olszewski, who is the chairman of the jury of the Pontecorvo Prize, to give us the recommendation of this award, after which we'll be asked to approve of that selection. Okay, the floor is yours.
Good morning, dear colleagues. So let me present the jury's recommendation on the award of the Bruno Pontecorvo Prize for the year 2017. So, as you know, the Bruno Pontecorvo Prize is awarded by the Joint Institute for Nuclear Research annually. This prize was established in 1995 to commemorate an outstanding scientist, academician, Bruno Pontecorvo, who is well known especially for his pioneering contribution to neutrino physics. And the international jury is composed of the following members. So Samuel Bilinki from our institute, Luciano Maiani, Italy, Arthur MacDonald from Canada, Yachiro Suzuki from Japan, and myself. So after discussion and the vote, we have resolved to award the Bruno Pontecorvo Prize for 2017 to a group of authors, actually two persons, Professor Gianluigi Folli from University and INFN, Bari, and Professor Eligio Lisi from INFN, Bari, both from Italy. And the formulation is for their pioneering contribution to the development of global analysis of neutrino oscillation data from different experiments. So I'm asking the Scientific Council to endorse this recommendation. Thank you very much for your attention.
I suggest that we approve by clapping, and clearly, if I understood well, we all approve of that selection. No comments, I see. Okay, thank you very much, Professor Olszewski, and I think we are proud to have awarded this prize and thank the committee for their work in selecting the awardees. Now we would like to ask Director Lednitsky, who will recommend the award of the annual prizes of the Joint Institute for best papers in the fields of scientific research instruments and methods and applied research. And the speaker is Professor Lednitsky, Vice Director, Chairman of the Jury. So you now take your floor.
Dear members of the Scientific Council, dear colleagues, I was chairman of the jury for the announcement and evaluation of Jenner prizes for year 2017. On this slide you can see the members of the jury. You may see that they are dominated by theoreticians because of a number of theoretical papers which were put for the evaluation. So you may see that in theoretical physics research there were five works, research works. In experimental physics research, three. In physics instrument and methods, also three papers. And you may see also that we have awarded three in theoretical physics, two in experimental physics research, in physics instrument and methods, two works, and in applied physics research, also two. and also we awarded 4 encouraging prizes. Concerning theoretical physics research, we had not easy task because there were very good evaluations of 3 works. So they are listed here: pseudotoric structures, Lagrangian tori and Lagrangian vibration, the author Turin, who introduced a new notion in mathematics and with very important application in mathematical physics. Then there was a series of papers on spin dynamics in arbitrary gravitational and electromagnetic fields by Obuchov, Silenko and Teryayev. They introduced quite unusual gravitational interaction of with spin of particle. And the third one, strong electron correlations in underdoped high temperature superconductors. So these authors, Feras, Ivansov, Kochetov, Maška and Mirzejevsky, developed the solution of one of the most complicated tasks in condensed matter physics when you have strong electron correlations. And after discussion and voting, we have decided to give the first prize to all of these 3 theoretical works. Concerning experimental physics research, so we have decided to give the first prize to delayed neutron emission of exotic nuclei by Testov, Peninškevich and Sokol, Kuznetsova, Smirnov, Ivanov, Severyukhin, Verney and Ibrahim. And second prize to the search for 2 proton decay of the first excited state of neon 17. Concerning physics instruments and methods, we decided to give the first prize the development and construction of gas field detectors based on a new type of straw tubes for operation in vacuum into a tracked spectrometer of the NA62 experimental setup by Glonty, Danielson, Eni, Kekelidze, Kolesnikov, Madigožin, Movčan, Potrebennikov, Samsonov, Šarovský. And second prize, the structure of deterministic mass, surface and multiphase fractals, theory and methods of analyzing the intensity of small angle scattering by Černý, Anitas, Osipov, Kuklin, Balasoyu. In applied physics research, we decided again give 2 first prizes to the works which are related to the our important directions. It is related to super heavy element factory and to the NICA project. The first one, development and construction of the permanent magnet ECR ion source, decrease PM for the DC 280 cyclotron by Bechtierev, Bogomolov, Bondarchenko, Yefremov, Kuzmenkov, Lebedev, Loginov, Mironov, Jazvitsky and Konev. And construction of a facility for assembling and testing superconducting magnets, investigation of the characteristics of magnets by Agapov, Borisov, Galimov, Doniagin, Karpinsky, Kekelidze, Kostromi, Nikiforov, Trubnikov and Hojibagian. And also we decided to give 4 encouraging prizes: the study of ultra-cold neutron diffraction by a moving grating by Kulin, Frank, Gorjunov, Kustov, Bushujev, Geltenbord, Jenschel, Panzarella. Determination of the decay time of scintillators and investigation of space correlation of nuclear radiation by the autocorrelation method to Morozov, Morozova, Zlokazov. Investigation of the non-linear dynamics of waves in the terahertz frequency range in condensed media and the living system by Bugaj. And Monte Carlo simulation of neutron spectrometers and neutron scattering experiments to Bielushkin, Manushin, Bodnarchuk and Tiofe. Some short information from the referee's report on these works. So concerning theoretical physics research, on pseudotoric structure, Lagrangian tori and Lagrangian vibration. So there were 7 papers published in 2010 to 2017. So this is in the direction of mathematical physics, and you may see that the referees concluded that the other generalized toric structure and compact symplectic manifold and called them pseudotoric structures. The new notion of pseudotoric structures represents an important and convenient tool in symplectic geometry and mathematical physics. Concerning spin dynamics in arbitrary gravitational and electromagnetic fields, there were 16 papers done in 1999 and 2017, and referees pointed out that the authors developed relativistic spin dynamics accounting for electromagnetic and gravitation interactions with important astrophysical applications, particularly for the detection of gravitational waves due to the enhanced spin effect in a strong magnetic field. And the third work, strong electron correlations in underdoped high temperature superconductors. There were 10 papers in 2007 and 2017, and it was pointed out that the authors developed a new method to solve the problem of strongly correlated electrons, one of the most difficult in condensed matter physics. They applied the method to cooperate high temperature superconductors and explained a number of their puzzling features, including the Fermi surface evolution in agreement with recent experiments based on quantum oscillations. So I think that this very good evaluation approved our resolution to give the first prize to these works. Concerning experimental physics research, delay neutron emission of exotic nuclei, there were 12 papers done in 2017. And the referees concluded that the exotic super neutron proficient nuclei were produced in uranium photo disintegration using gamma beams from Joint Institute Microtron and ORSE accelerator complex. And it was demonstrated that the probability of delayed neutron emission imposes limitation on the beta decay lifetime, which is of fundamental importance for nuclear physics and astrophysics, particle nuclear synthesis. Most of the results were obtained for the first time. So concerning the second prize in experimental physics research, search for the two proton decay of the first excited state of neon 17, there were 6 papers in 2016, and referees pointed out that the authors developed a new data analysis method, so-called combined mass method, allowing for a substantial improvement of the instrumental resolution of experiments with a thick target. And using this method, they search for the two proton decay of the first excited state of neon 17 at the Akulina fragment separator and improve the existing upper limit by a factor of 50. Promising applications of the proposed technique are expected in solving problems in nuclear astrophysics. Concerning physics instruments and methods, so the first prize was given to development and construction of gas field detectors based on a new type of straw tubes for operating in vacuum into a track spectrometer of the NI-62 experimental setup. There were 15 papers in 2010, 2017. And the referees pointed out that the authors developed, in fact, they have got 4 invention patents for this development and produced a new type of thin-walled drift tubes operating in vacuum, which is of key importance for the experiment NA62 at CERN to register extremely rare K+ to pi+ nu bar decay mode at the level of 10 to the minus 10. This type of detector is widely needed in a number of experiments under preparation, for example, in experiment COMET, the JPARC, experiment SHIB at CERN, and MPD experiment at NICA. The second prize was given to the structure of deterministic mass surface and multiphase fractals, theory and methods of analyzing the intensity of small angle scattering. There were 5 papers published in 2010, 2017, and referees pointed out that the authors extended the usual fractal analysis of neutron small angle scattering to to the so-called deterministic fractal structures, which is of great importance for the analysis of contemporary nanomaterials like tract membranes or hyperbranched macromolecules. And finally, in applied physics research, the first prizes were given to development and construction of the permanent magnet ECR ion source, decrease PE, for the DC-280 cyclotron, 5 papers in 2014-2017, and it was pointed out that the authors developed and produced ECR ion source based on permanent magnets, thus minimizing energy consumption of this source, at the same time reaching a record intensity of multi-charge ions, which is of key importance for the performance of super-heavy element factory. And concerning the construction of a facility for assembling and testing superconducting magnets, investigation of the characteristics of these magnets, 20 papers published in 2010-2017, and the referees pointed that the construction of a precise assembling and testing facility of rapid cycling superconducting magnets is of key importance for the realization of the NICA and FER projects, particularly CIS-100, accelerator, and the already produced booster superconducting magnets confirmed the achieving of the required working precision. Thank you for the attention, and I would like that you approve our recommendation.
Thank you very much. I'm asking the Scientific Council to approve of these decisions by the jury. Do I have any comments? I cannot see any. Therefore, I take it that the committee has approved of the selection and congratulates the winners of these prizes. Thank you very much, Chairman Ledinsky. Our next item on the program is the announcement of vacancies of positions, and for that I will ask the chair to chair.
Thank you. Dear colleagues, after having elected the directors of the Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics and the director of Laboratory of Information Technologies, the Scientific Council should announce the vacancies of positions of deputy directors of these laboratories. And according to the regulation, the endorsement of appointments to these positions will take place at the next 124th session of the Scientific Council in September of this year. I ask you to include this announcement in the resolution of our session. Yes.
I take it that the Council has agreed to include that announcement. And now I think comes the time to have coffee, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, how long will the break be? Quarter to?
20 minutes.
So let's agree that we commence at 11:15. And I wish to thank everybody. I will have to leave earlier. I wish to thank everybody for their cooperation and look forward to seeing you again soon. No, I'll not be able to attend the discussion.
So dear colleagues, I think we have to congratulate our colleague, co-chairman of the session, Mikhail Grigorsky, for his wise leading of this session. So thank you, and we wish you all best return to your home. So, and thank you. And well, we will proceed without you.
Thank you very much. And I leave the hardest job with the director, because now comes the discussion and formulating of the resolution. So this will now be, as I understand, chaired by our director.
I'll try.
Thank you very much for your cooperation. Thank you.
Thank you.